You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in. Great to be back after a long holiday break. Well, a year ago, it would have taken 2 weeks to stand in line to get cannabis. Things have certainly picked up as the new year, the first year of pot sales in Illinois, ended. And it now looks like maybe $1 billion in sales for 2020, and that's with the pandemic. Here to help us understand all of that is Andy Seeger. He is the Can Economist. Andy, welcome back to the Chicago Afternoon News.
Thank you so much. I was hoping I was going to be played in by John Prine's illegal smile, but
oh,
I'll take this.
We miss John Prine, don't we?
We do after last year, but we move on with his knowledge.
Yeah, and that's funny you say that because I probably listened to John Prine more this year than any other artist, a great songwriter, and he was one of the early deaths from COVID-19. So remembering John Prine with the illegal smile, making reference to some guy who's walking around high, and it's no longer an illegal smile for the most part.
Not for about 30% of America.
That's amazing to me. And so when did it started in, was it Colorado or Oregon?
I believe it was Oregon way out west, and Colorado came on a little bit after that. We've had medical programs for more than 20 years. I mean, Hawaii is hanging on to a long-term medical program there as they move really slowly. So this has been a long time coming, but we're kind of at the inflection point, that hockey stick point where all of a sudden New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, you know, other big states, Arizona start to look to go. And we might soon have over half the country in state legal cannabis.
You mean over half the states or half the population?
I'm sorry, half the population of the country. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Amazing. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, gay marriage happened very quickly, I think, in this country. This is happening not as quickly as it started in Oregon and in Colorado some time ago. But still, the sweep is in. I mean, it's almost inevitable. It's going to be almost everywhere soon.
Yeah, I think so. And it's across almost every demographic. We see this going across age demographics as boomers really caught up in the past couple of years. Brightfield Group, the consultancy in Chicago, calls them boomerangs, or the older generation that came back. So there's kind of curious people throughout the demographics. It crosses, you know, red and blue. It crosses the aisle as it's bipartisan and has moved forward in some really deeply conservative places like Oklahoma and North Dakota. So it's really a product from morning till night for almost everybody. And that's driven, you know, a 70% approval rating for cannabis legalization. And once it is legalized, you know, legal drinking age adults, the population usage jumps to almost like 35%, you know, almost rivaling alcohol. So this is here to stay, and it's going to be something that people need to kind of reckon with as a new and emerging market.
Will it be more public in 10 or 15 years? Or I guess I'm certainly it will, but how much more? I mean, do you think we'll be able to go to the bar and order a joint or eat an edible at a bar?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is only going forward. You know, we're starting to get different sorts of lounges cropping up across America, some in L.A. and Colorado. New Mexico is looking at their legalization attempt as well. So this is definitely going to start to look different. You know, that's not just going to be the monopoly of the dispensary of where you get your weed. This is going to have, you know, delivery. And you know, one woman even asked me if she might be able to make a edible brownie food truck. And I told her that's a long way off, but it's a possibility.
Right. You might want to start saving.
You know, yeah. Or you might want to start with just a peddler's license. There's some other things. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, but those are all going to get taken care of as the politicians get a little less risk adverse. They get a little less leery of all this. You know, the revenue starts making sense. You know, Michigan had almost $400 million in sales this year. So the billion-dollar number in Illinois is large, but it still is dwarfed by what it could be if it was given actual real supply to meet the demand. You know, something we still haven't seen is prices are still really high.
Well, and so is the $1 billion in sales, is that's beyond what was expected, or is that pretty much what we expected? Tell me how we fit in that way.
You know, I don't think that there were much in the ways of expectations. The model that Illinois went with, just expanding their medical program, and some of the litigation we've seen is that there really hasn't been much opened up since January 1st that's been different from before. So almost nobody in the game is selling anything new besides what they kind of added to grow houses or other things. So the leaps and bounds we've made are basically the new capacities of the people that were already there. So what we're waiting on now is those new dispensary licenses, those local and minority-owned and others that will come into the market, the 75 that are kind of stuck, and the bill has up to 500 dispensaries. You know, the state still has less than 100, where California or Oregon has 600. So there's still some limitations on the market that need to be kind of ironed out. But, you know, this number is a little low for its first year. It was, they did see some declines from month to month, which is unusual. It's just, it's been a very, very strange year.
This package was sold as a social justice package, and we've seen exonerations, we've seen records cleared and things such as that. But it also was going to make good by offering minority licenses to dispensary holders. And there's an op-ed in the piece in the Tribune today saying that that hasn't happened, that there's not been one. Where are we right on that, and why is it that they're so slow in doing this?
Yeah, so much of the sales, about 25% of all sales, is supposed to be set aside for this incubation or support of minority-owned and equity positions. And the Illinois bill was really touted as the gold standard, but we've yet to see any of that actually come through, except for a little bit of PR efforts on behalf of some of those big multi-state operators. The rest has really been hung up in litigation. Illinois has never really awarded this many dispensary licenses at once, so the scoring has to be made and all these other things, and that gets bogged down in a lot of technical legalese. So a lot of those people need help drafting those applications, as they're so complex, and you need the help of lawyers and other things. There's a lot that goes into it. There's high barriers of cost to these applications. You need a lot of capital and other backing. So it was a trouble from right off the bat, and now they're stuck in litigation as the scores are kind of combated and disputed. So we've yet to see really anyone open up any sort of different dispensary besides those that were medical at the beginning of the year. And that's really what's holding it back, is that almost nobody else has been allowed in to kind of participate in this.
Is the risk then that those who are in right now are going to develop such a loyal clientele that the minorities aren't going to have a leg up when it comes time to finally getting their licenses?
You know, there is that risk. There's a ton of money in this. There's a ton of lobbyists, and the lobbyist is no longer, the patient advocate. It's big money. John Boehner's on a board of, one of these companies. This is big, big money. It's distributorships, it's CPG, it's beverage alcohol, and everything else. So, that's going to continue apace, but there is no Bud Light yet. There's no Bud Light of cannabis. That has yet to be created by anybody. There's no Sam Adams, but there is definitely going to be a niche for that craft grower. There's going to be a niche for that person that makes something slightly different or appeals to a certain demographic that's looking for something they don't usually find and isn't the, a lot of THC for a very low dollar that most of the market might be looking for. So the market's going to shake out in terms of the size of players, but that year of added advantage only has consolidated the market control of these players.
Andy Seeger, the Can Economist, great to talk to you.
Yeah, always. Have a safe and happy New Year.
You too. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News on 720 WGN. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.